My dearly beloved in Christ, the liturgy of Ash Wednesday begins with the blessing of ashes that are put on our foreheads. And then the priest uses the words that God said to Adam, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return." The ashes comes from the burned palms that were blessed the previous Palm Sunday. The blessed ashes symbolize contrition and humility. By publicly acknowledging that our bodies will be reduced to dust and ashes, we humble ourselves before God. This leads to great confidence in God's mercy, who resists the proud and pardons the humble. My dearly beloved in Christ, it's probable that when the ceremony for the blessing of ashes was first instituted, it was not intended for all the faithful, but only such as had committed any of those crimes for which the church had inflicted a public penance. Before the Mass of the day began, they presented themselves at the church where the people were all assembled. The penitents first went to confession. Afterwards, the priest sprinkled ashes on their heads and clothed them in sackcloth over their outer garments. Sackcloth was a coarse garment, usually woven from goat's and camel's hair, and of a dark color. As a garment worn by penitents and mourners, it covered the entire body and was fastened around the waist with a rope. This coarse material was also used for sacks of grain, sackcloth. After the ceremony of clothing the repentant public sinners with sackcloth and sprinkling ashes on their heads, the clergy and the faithful prostrated. Later, the seven penitential psalms were recited. A procession in which the penitents walked barefooted then followed, and on its return, the bishop addressed these words to the penitents. "Behold, we drive you from the doors of the church by reason of your sins and crimes, as Adam, the first man, was driven out of paradise because of his transgression." The clergy then sang several responsories taken from the book of Genesis, in which mention was made of the sentence pronounced by God when he condemned man to eat his bread in the sweat of his brow, and that the earth was cursed on account of his sin. The doors were then shut. The penitents were not to pass the threshold until Holy Thursday, when they were to come and receive absolution. Dating from the 11th century, the discipline of public penance began to fall into disuse, and the holy rite of putting ashes on the heads of all the faithful indiscriminately became so general that at length it was considered as forming an essential part of the Roman liturgy. My dearly beloved in Christ, for the love of God, a good Catholic who faithfully observes the penance prescribed by the Church knows that these satisfactions will purify his soul. Since we lessen or remove our temporal punishment due to our sins, we have less to fear from divine justice and can expect a merciful judgment. Let us not then be sad because we are to fast. Let us be sad only because we have sinned and made fasting a necessity. My dearly beloved in Christ, in the lesson from the prophet Joel, we learn how the penance of fasting is so pleasing to God and so effective to atone for the temporal punishment due to our sins. God pardoned the sins of the inhabitants of Nineveh, an infidel city, because they sought his mercy by penance, humility, and fasting. Our sacrifices can be even more pleasing to God if they're united with contrition for our sins and meditation upon the passion of Christ. Sadly, many people today are devoid of faith and the fear of God. Their bodies are pampered and seek instant gratification through sinful pleasures. Despite the almost universal disregard for all things relating to God, we must atone to divine justice for our sins and the punishment due to them. Today, we begin 40 days of penance, but we should not be sad because Lent gives us an opportunity to express our love for God, to atone for the temporal punishment due to our sins. If we're faithful in observing the Lenten fast and making sacrifices, we prove our love for God, atone for our sins, receive many graces, and prepare our soul for a merciful judgment. I'd just like to close with a story. Nineveh was a great city of the Assyrians, the country to the east of Syria. Its inhabitants were Gentiles and were very wicked. Since God is merciful, patient, and ready to forgive, before he punished the wicked Ninevites, he desired to warn them. God spoke to the prophet Jonas and told him to go to Nineveh to preach repentance so that the people could amend and avert chastisement. Jonas disobeyed God's command because he feared mockery and revilement from the Assyrians. In addition, he would gladly have seen the destruction of Nineveh because their country was so dangerous to Israel and the Israelites. As a matter of fact, one century later, Israel was conquered and destroyed by the Assyrians. Instead of fulfilling God's will, Jonas tried to flee from him by boarding a ship traveling to Spain. God sent a great storm, and the ship was in danger of being destroyed. The Phoenician crew asked one another who was responsible because they believed this fearful storm was a punishment for a great sin committed by one of those on board. They cast lots to find the culprit, and the lot fell upon Jonas, who resisted God's command. Jonas said, "Cast me into the sea, and the water will become calm for you, for I know that it is for my sake that this great tempest is upon you." So they cast Jonas into the sea, and the sea became calm. Jonas was thrown overboard and was swallowed by a whale. He remained in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. These were well-deserved punishments for his disobedience. Jonas prayed for deliverance and was cast upon the shore by the whale. A second time, God spoke to Jonas and said to him, "Go to Nineveh and preach in it." Jonas obeyed this time and told the Ninevites, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed if it be not converted." The people prayed, fasted, and performed good works. As a result of their conversion and repentance, the city was spared. They believed Jonas was a messenger from God who granted them 40 days' time to be converted. The Ninevites fasted, put on sackcloth, and did penance. When God saw their humble hearts and their works of penance, he had mercy and spared them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.